This interview is being conducted with Major Lane Rogers by Gunnery Sergeant Floyd N. Jordan at Marine Corps Schools, Quantico, Virginia, on 11 January 1966. The subject of this interview is Delta Operations, Viet Cong Tactics, and it is unclassified. Would you state your name, grade, and service number, please, sir?
I'm Major Lane Rogers, U.S. Marine Corps, 061169.
What were your duty assignments while you were in Vietnam, sir?
Well, I was the advisor to the 3rd Battalion, Vietnamese Marine Corps.
What period did you serve in these billets?
I was serving in that billet from 5 June 1964 to 5 June 1965.
Where were you physically located within Vietnam during this period, sir?
We were in approximately 8 different locations, but I would say generally the first 6 months we spent in the Delta area. The month of December we spent on Phu Quoc Island. In January we were operating in generally in the area between Saigon and Vung Tau. In February we went to Da Nang. In the latter stage of February and March, we were down in the Bong Son Quinyon area. Then we went back to Da Nang, and then we returned to Saigon for Capital Military District duty.
Would you discuss any major combat actions in which you participated, giving the dates, location, and purpose of the operation? Describe the operation as you saw it from your viewpoint.
I think one of the most significant operations that we had 8 major engagements during the year that I was with the 3rd Battalion, was in mid-November of 1964. This was when we were operating with the 7th Arvin Army Division in the area of Metaw. We were operating generally west of Metaw along the Mekong. The overall plan was the Viet Cong had established a pattern of operations in that they would come in battalion strength from the Plain of Reeds area, and we were able, through our intelligence sources, or we were able to track them in such a fashion that we knew approximately when they were in the area and approximately what strength, and we thought we were able to identify the units. So after a period of about 3 weeks of fixing-type operations, we'd run a probe to find out if somebody was in the area or not, and we launched a full-scale offensive in which we participated as the Marine Landing Force. The whole battalion operated in this fashion. Basically, the situation on, if I remember correctly, the operation started on 17 November and lasted for 4 days. We established a counter plan by sending aircraft with leaflets and artillery prep and so forth and so on in one area, and then the division commander offset the operation by about 5,000 meters. Fortunately so, because the Viet Cong in that area had a tendency to follow up on all our preparations. If we dropped leaflets in an area, they'd get out. If we fired artillery prep in an area, why, they'd get out. So by the offset, we were able to basically entrap the VC battalion that we got into. My battalion mounted out with the River Assault Group at approximately 0330 from Metaw, and we headed up to Mekong. The actual physical landing was approximately 0630 in the morning. It was initially unopposed. There was no contact. 5 other army battalions formed the inland portion of the operation, and it was allegedly a semi-hammer and anvil-type tactic, but it did not evolve as that by the time we got finished, in that one side of the trap was open. So the end of the first day, the army moved another battalion in by helicopter to try and pick up the remnants of the VC battalion that we engaged. As we proceeded up a small tributary on foot, the first bend that we came to, we ran into intense small arms fire and picked up our first casualties of the day. We had 17 people hit and lost two, one platoon commander right between the horns right off the bat. At this time, the VC sent a squad off to our right flank, which apparently was a ruse. They were trying to draw us off from the main position. Our flank security picked up a squad. We killed three of them. Two that we know of escaped, and it's undetermined about the rest. I'd like to point out at this time, in this area of the Delta, the only possible navigation is either small boat navigation or foot navigation. There's no inland. I don't think you could even move an Amtrak. It's a very heavy mangrove-type swamp. Certainly no mechanized form at all can move in there. And it was also very difficult in the form of medevac. The only medevacs that we could get out were by small boat, which caused our second problem, because the River Assault Group sent some small armored assault boats up to assist us. And the instructions which we gave the commander, and which he understood, became confused as they went down the line, so that the second, third, and fourth boats in line, instead of firing to the left, which would have been to our front, fired both to the left and right, and we sustained 12 more casualties due to the small arms fire. Fortunately, only two were serious. By this time, we knew that we had literally had a tiger by the tail, because we had two companies engaged of my battalion against a target which was across the stream. The stream was about 30 to 40 meters wide and was really too deep for fording. You could swim across it, but we had no boats, so we were committed in a more of a blocking operation. We called an army battalion up on our left flank, which was across the stream. They couldn't get into the position. We found out later why, in that it was a position that was about 500 meters on a side with three belts of defensive fortifications, all of which were fortified. The CP had been waterproofed and dug in, which we found to be quite unusual, because the water table being so low in the Delta, the VC don't usually go to this extent. We found out subsequently this was a position of a training battalion, and I'm glad to say that we permanently interrupted their training. As the operation progressed, our two lead companies started to run out of ammunition. We were receiving 57 recoilless fire, and we were receiving light mortar fire. And because of the dense terrain, we were having trouble adjusting artillery, and we finally had to terminate artillery fire when we were getting some awfully close rounds. I have to point out the fact that VC were about 60 meters away from us. We couldn't see them, and they couldn't see us. But obviously, we could see where the fire was coming from, and so could they. We executed a relief by placing our two additional companies up online and withdrawing the companies that were exhausted, that exhausted their ammunition. We got all our casualties out. By this stage of the game, we had about 35 wounded and 6 dead, if I remember correctly. We were able to employ our Integral 81s so well that we expended everything we had. The Army units on our left flank still were not able to get across the canal that was in front of the VC position, and we were not able to get across the river into their position, it being broad daylight. The firefight, which initially started about 10 o'clock, didn't really let up until 1400. And at this time, we had elements of the Army 62nd Aviation Company, Armed Hueys, come in. And because of our proximity to the VC, we were able to very accurately mark for them. And one thing I'd like to point this up as far as Vietnamese Marines are concerned, they're helicopter-oriented, and they do a really fine job. As we had later had the opportunity to call Hueys down to 25 meters in front of us, and they'll hold and fight right back. Well, the rest of the day was composed of straight Huey strikes until approximately 16:30, when we got VNAF aircraft overhead, and we brought them in. Fortunately, because of the stream between the VC and us, we were partially protected, and the VC target area was clearly defined, so we had no short drops. The VNAF was using, ADs, A1Es, and their strikes were reasonably effective. Something we found to be much more effective against personnel targets. Most of the positions were just trench lines, but reinforced trench lines, were frag clusters. None of the ordnance that was dropped was heavy stuff. There were no 500-pounders, no 750s. And the effect was highly significant. By nightfall, which that season was about, I'd say, 1830, the perimeter was pretty well closed. We had the stream pretty well sealed off on our side. The Army battalion on our left had fairly well closed the box. And the other Army battalions, which would be in front of us, in effect, were starting to close the ring. The entire area within which the VC were compressed would be a square about, I would estimate at that time, about 1,000 to 1,500 meters on a side. Now, unfortunately, when the last blocking battalion was Hilo lifted in, they were lifted in too late and were not able to fully tie in their perimeter security. And I'd like to point up this for one specific reason. VC are able very quickly to find unit weaknesses, in that if a perimeter has been drawn around them, they'll find a hole. And as soon as they find the hole, as soon as it gets dark, if it's to their advantage, they'll get out and they'll go out through that hole. This is exactly what happened, because we spent all that night, we fired or directed artillery into the position. We established a 360-degree perimeter because we expected either infiltrators or that possibly other units would come up behind us. But by the next morning, the VC had gone. Now, body count on the position, they left 106 bodies behind. We did capture three, all of which were dressed in civilian clothes and were certainly on their way out. One of the significant people that we captured was the woman commissary officer of the unit. And the way we picked her up, she was very casually walking out through the perimeter when we went in. But she just was not dressed like most people in that area. Her accent was a little bit off. And we took her into custody. She later identified the unit and identified the people. Some of the bodies that we picked up were hardcore VC and were members of a training cadre. And we captured I would estimate about 400 pounds of literature, about half of which was devoted to how to shoot down a helicopter. And from the bodies that were left in the position, you could tell that the Hueys had really done a fine job. In coordinating on the position, we found that the Huey, because of its superior radio, makes a wonderful antenna. And you can control them so quickly and so well that if you want to employ any other supporting arms, air or artillery, you can get them out of the area, and you can get them back in pretty quickly. They'll go up high, and you can talk to them. We talked to Hueys up to 15 miles on 10s. The only I caution anybody using them, though, in frequency scan, if you have too many units on using 10s and the frequencies are too close, one, you'll block each other out, and secondly, when a Huey comes on the air, he blots everybody out. So you have to exercise some caution in this respect. And that's most of it. Can I fill you in on any other portions?
I think you've covered it very well, sir. Thank you very much.